1, 2, 3.
Welcome to In the Studio. For three decades now, the first-person stories of and by the greatest rock musicians in history. I'm Redbeard, your conductor on this rock and roll train, and today in the studio, it's the Fanniversary, since the Rolling Stones reclaimed their title of world's greatest rock and roll band with Some Girl.
You don't get with the Stones of like being able to work continually, fairly regular, which a musician needs, you know. With the Stones, it's very hard to get. You're either working frantically or you ain't doing anything. And it's very easy not to do anything, especially for a guy like me who's basically lazy.
Your personal life affects your songwriting because a lot of inspiration comes from like your family and your friends and the situations you find yourself in. But you have to temper all that or add to that with listening to other people's personal experiences. I'm not too blind to see.
I walked in the studio and I said, all right, here's a riff, you know, and it was Charlie said, cool, he comes in here and starts bossing us all about.
This is Keith Richards of the Stones.
I'm Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones with Redbeard.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood.
And Ian McLagan.
In the studio for Some Girl.
Entertainment writer and In the Studio alumnus Joe Rhodes once pointed out to me that of the reams of material written about the Rolling Stones since the release of the Some Girls album in June 78, remarkably little of that written material has been about the music itself. It seems like everyone who's ever had a backstage pass to a Stone show has written a book. There have been critiques of Mick and Keith's respective lifestyles, about Mick's 1970s jet setting, Keith's drug taking then, about busts and riots and all manner of rock and roll decadence. But Rhodes contended that there had been precious little about the Rolling Stones albums themselves, about the circumstances behind the creation of the music and the writing of the songs. In the All Music Guide, writer Stephen Thomas Erlewine reminds us, and I quote, during the mid-70s, the Rolling Stones remained massively popular, but their albums suffered from Jagger's fascination with celebrity and Keith Richards' worsening drug habit. By 1978, both punk and disco had swept the group right off the front pages, end quote. So to trace the igniter plug that would spark Some Girls into one of rock and roll's greatest albums, you have to go back to lead guitarist Mick Taylor's quitting the Rolling Stones prior to the 1975 world tour. The man who accompanied the Rolling Stones on guitar, Ron Wood of the Faces, tells the story.
We didn't want anything to be announced that I joined the band. It was something we just let gradually seep in. We didn't make an official announcement. For some reason, we agreed to do that. I don't know why. I think it was Keith's idea. But I was at the party, Robert Stigwood party, when the night that Mick Taylor actually left, he told Jagger, and Mick came up and he said, he's left the band, what am I going to do with him? I said, I don't know. He said, I really want you, he said, but I like you in the Faces too much, you know, I don't want to split them up. I said, well, nor do I. I said, you'd have to find somebody else. I said, but if you get desperate, really desperate, give me a ring. And I don't know how long later it was, about a year or something. He rang me in L.A. I was ill in bed, and he said, I'm desperate, Woody. They were in Germany, making Black and Blue. And I went over, and I said, I'll help you on the album. You know, so I got there, and I was checked into a room between Jeff Beck and Harvey Mandel. I think Steve Marriott was around there, and I don't know, everybody and his brother, Eric Clapton, was like, I don't know what the hell was going on. But I walked in the studio and I said, all right, here's a riff, you know, and it was, what's that song called? Anyway, Charlie said, Cool, he comes in here and starts bossing us all about.
Summer single of 1978 from the Rolling Stones' Some Girls album, Miss You. The campy falsetto that Mick Jagger employed on Miss You has a long and proud tradition with history's greatest male soul singers, such as Smokey Robinson, Marvin Gaye, Eddie Kendricks of the Temptations, and Prince. I asked Mick Jagger to reveal its history and his favorite falsetto singers.
When I used to sing in the choir at church, you know, I used to sing, you know, before my voice broke, I just loved hitting those high notes, and I guess I still like doing that. Well, I don't put myself in the same league as those people, because those people made a real, you know, speciality of it. You know, they did it in the act always. I mean, they did it on every album. I mean, I just do that occasionally. I would not put myself in that same company. Also, I find it very hard to do on stage. After you've sung for say half an hour in a regular voice, I don't have any falsetto. When I go to a Prince concert, Prince can do the falsetto any time he wants, and I just think it's amazing. Also, Smokey and Al Green and Marvin Gaye, you know. Though Marvin used to have a lot of problems doing his falsetto, you know, in later years, because he used to take so many drugs. But if you take drugs or smoke, you lose your falsetto. That's the first thing that goes. Well, I mean, I suppose Smokey Robinson is like one of the best, but a lot of Smokey stuff isn't actually in falsetto. I mean, he's got such a high voice. But Smokey is a great falsetto singer. Prince is a great falsetto singer too. He's a very strong falsetto voice. I originally caught my falsetto voice from Don Covey in the song, very early Stones song called "Have Mercy, Baby," which is on one of the early Stones records. I never quite know which ones are on which. That he was one of the first ones that I actually did. I mean, I copied him note for note and decided I could actually try and do that. I mean, in church singing, there's so many good falsetto singers. I mean, Al Green, I guess, is a great falsetto singer. But also, there's a lot of women. So that, you know, so you copy women singers. You know, I used to sing Tina Turner songs. I would always do Tina's thing. So, you know, you don't have to stick with men, because men, falsetto men, is really just copying women. You don't have to wear the dress.
Time.
Rolling Stones from 1978's Some Girls album had the raucous When the Whip Comes Down, reportedly woodshedding over 40 songs in a prolific period that would allow them to cull tracks for several subsequent and later albums. I asked Rolling Stones rhythm guitarist, songwriter Keith Richards how the Stones trimmed the Some Girls song list down to just 10.
In a way, I let them find themselves. I watch everybody else scrambling around Mick with his list, you know, hands up for number three. How many, you know, I'm putting three hands up and screwing it all up. Because I'm always trusting that it will find itself. And that's where, you know, I would love to be a fly on the wall, I have a camera sometime, and show you how the Rolling Stones go about chopping their things apart. People threaten to leave the band for one song, you understand? It's true, you know, heated conversation. But I've always said, I sit back there and I think, hey, this is better than not having enough songs, you know?
In the 90s, Mick Jagger would expand his lyrical point of view, but for the Some Girls album, Living in the Eye of the Hurricane, Mick Jagger was surrounded by the swirling wall clouds of controversy.
Your personal life affects your songwriting, because a lot of inspiration comes from like your family and your friends and the situations you find yourself in. And also But you have to temper all that or add to that with listening to other people's personal experiences and incorporating those experiences into your own, and also what you just observed. And then you have to use your imagination. And out of that, you can, you know, become a better writer. Because if you only use your personal experience, you only have that to draw on. And that, though that's important, you can... There's lots of other things in the world that you can't experience, but you can imagine and you can emote. And I think that's a part of a writer's job, that you don't just repeat your personal experiences, though of course they're important.
Out of all the girls in New York,
Some Girls, there's a terrific reinterpretation of the Temptations' Just My Imagination. Up next, Ron Wood confesses why the Stones could never be respectable, while Mick Jagger sends up both kinds of music, country and western. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. In the Studio with Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones on the anniversary of Some Girls.
I'm Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones with Redbeard.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood in the studio for Some Girls.
Thank you all. The timeless and very listenable to this day Rolling Stones powerhouse Some Girls album, on which the late Faces keyboard player Ian McLagan had reunited with former Faces guitarist Ron Wood, now with the Rolling Stones, and holed up in our Paris recording studio. Here's Woody.
In the Pathé Marconi, in a little district outside Paris, Boulogne-Billancourt. That was it for tax reasons, I think, because the Stones had a heavy liability, was due, as a band. We made about 3 albums there, I think. Mm. And well, what it was, you'd all move into the same hotel in Paris. It all make our way in different ways every day to the studio, but it was like driving through the Paris traffic and making it a big deal, and everyone going for a meal at a different time. So we'd never start recording till about after midnight, you know. Keith would, nobody leaves while I'm in the studio, so we'd be there in the midnight next night. And people would, Bill Wyman would sort of go off, go to bed. That's why I ended up playing bass on a lot of songs on every album as well. And he'd go out for a meal, you know, come back and check in at a decent time like any normal human being. But the rest of the band weren't normal.
The President on the Rip Snorter song Respectable, with the Rolling Stones sending themselves up. However, Jagger's pending divorce from socialite Bianca was real, so I asked Ron Wood if he noticed the strain on Mick Jagger while making the Some Girls album.
He was getting stoned along with the rest of us and just getting on with making the music. And he never shows his feelings much anyway. The worst time anyone brought their feelings to work, with, especially with Mick and Keith, was during the making of Dirty Work. That was a really terrible atmosphere. But during this one, Mick was, he was happy. I mean, with the music. He was well into things like Faraway Eyes, and he especially liked that one.
The Rolling Stones had toyed at country music with Let It Bleed and the song Dead Flowers. But on Faraway Eyes, they threw Ms. Country's skirt up over her head. Here's Mick Jagger.
As I say, it's not like a new thing for me to do country music. I've always liked country music, and I've always done it. I mean, it's something you do at home a bit. You know, you sit around the piano and play, and or just sit with the guitar and play. And quite often you can, you know, it's a natural thing to do. Rather than, I mean, I don't really sing rap music at home. You know, with acoustic guitar, it's like it's more natural just to be sitting around and you sing country. And I mean, since I was a teenager, a lot of country singers were very popular in England. Like Johnny Cash, they had like big hit tunes, George Jones, Jim Reeves, and many others were very popular. And, you know, we had their records. And though I really liked blues and rhythm and blues, this was my first kind of love. Country music was very much around. So it's not like a new thing to me. And, you know, I listen to country music a lot. And now, I said before, I quite like singers like Dwight Yoakam and so on.
I was driving home early Sunday morning through Bakersfield, listening to gospel music on the colored radio station. And the preacher said, you know, you always have the Lord by your side. And I was so pleased to be informed of this, I ran 20 red lights in his honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I had an arrangement to meet a girl, and I was kind of late. And I thought by the time I got there, she'd be off with the nearest truck driver she could find. There she was, sitting in the corner, a little bleary, worse for wear and tear, with a girl with far away eyes. So if you're down on your luck, then you can't harm. girl with faraway eyes. So if you're down on your luck, I know y'all seeing the lights. To the girl with faraway eyes.
With Ronnie Wood on pedal steel guitar, Faraway Eyes appears on the Rolling Stones' Some Girls album. Up next, Keith Richards gets popped with a serious international drug charge and vows to walk before they make me run. Plus, Ron Wood and Mick Jagger rejoin me, Redbeard, in the studio for the Some Girls by the Rolling Stones.
I'm Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones with Redbeard.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood in the studio for Some Girls.
Thanks again, guys. The irony is a serious drug bust in Canada almost derailed the Some Girls album altogether. Keith Richards and gal pal Anita Pallenberg were popped in February 1977 at Toronto Airport, and 3 days later, again, at their hotel. Keith's possession of an ounce of heroin was serious enough for a trafficking charge. Keith couldn't leave Canada while facing a possible prison sentence of 7 years to life. Anita, the mother of Keith's child, split. Meanwhile, the Rolling Stones were making an album, two continents away. Here's Ron Wood.
Just another day in the Rolling Stones' life. It was, you know, okay, Keith's been busted again. What are we gonna do now? How are we gonna get over this one? But we'd always would. Keith was tougher than that. I mean, even if he hadn't got busted there, he'd have got popped somewhere else. Just had to take its course. I don't think the band was ever gonna break up, except that very dodgy time around Dirty Work. But I don't know if that Toronto thing affected. Oh, Keith's tough right now. He would have still got a constitution of iron, you know. I think it was, more importantly, the final nail in him and Anita's relationship. They were both, like, a bit helplessly addicted. So, you know, they realised they had to clean up and sort of they couldn't do it together. And Keith made a big effort. She disappeared, went back to England or something, and he made a big effort in New York to get a clean sheet again.
We'll be right back.
Keith Richards, who once told me that he's learned that cliches are true, would probably amend this one to say, idle hands without guitars are the devil's workshop.
For me, which you don't get with the Stones, of like being able to work continually and a fairly regular, which a musician needs, you know. With the Stones, it's very hard to get. You're either working frantically or you ain't doing anything. And it's very easy not to do anything, especially for a guy like me who's basically lazy.
Synthesizers and the slick, glitzy production of disco were vying for center stage in recorded music by the time Some Girls was made. But it was Ron Wood and Keith Richards who ensured that the Rolling Stones would, as Jesse Winchester would say, let the rough side drag.
You mean, do I hate synthesizers? am I bored with them yet? Yeah, I'm bored with them already. And at the same time, I'm not knocking them. They're just tools, you know. I mean, I want to get them to the hardware department. I'm sick of Toy Town. Let's put it like that.
Ron Wood.
No, I was continuing the legends that had gone before, like with Brian Jones's short stay in the band and Mick Taylor's short stay. I was continuing the stuff that they did because I liked exactly what they did, and I tried to reproduce that. But when I came in, I just naturally fell into a thing with Keith without even having to talk about it. We just sit in hotel rooms and talk with our guitars anyway.
And when I asked about Charlie Watts' crisp drumming on Beast of Burden, Ron Wood pinpointed the source of the Stones' heartbeat for 50 years.
Charlie Watts is important to every song. Without him, you wouldn't have the Rolling Stones. Charlie Watts and four other people constitute the Rolling Stones.
Charlie Watts and backup group.
Oh, yeah. No, when he just hits them skins, you know, got the groove immediately.
Me.
Rolling Stones continue in uncharted territory. So who is qualified to assess the Rolling Stones when there's clearly no comparison? Here's Keith Richards.
Only the Stones themselves. Yeah, well, we're super critical, man. That's maybe why this band is better than it thinks it is, or anybody thinks. You try playing with these guys. Man. Oh, I was lousy on that. Oh, I didn't get that right. No, everybody's picking themselves apart all the time, you know? And then they listen to it back a couple of days later and say, oh, maybe it wasn't that bad. But, I mean, nobody ever thinks they're fantastic in this band. It's almost forbidden. Yeah, anyway, big heads and all loud. You get shot that way. The Stones are very proud of themselves, even though they don't want to say so, you know? It's very, in a way, Charlie Watts' attitude is even permeates, like, through, even to Mick, you know? I mean, it's all under, say, he knows he's good, you know? He's about, nobody's going to walk around saying, you know, I'm fantastic. It's death in the Rolling Stones to go start trying that one on. It's, you know, we're always putting each other down, insulting each other in the best possible friendly terms that you can possibly insult each other. In other words, to keep egging each other on and say, you know, you can do, we can get it better yet. You know, I mean, we have everybody in the Stones right now looking forward, you know, which is quite a thing.
Living on the streets, look at me. I'm in tatters. I'm shattered. Shattered. Friends are so alarming, and my lover's never charming. Life's just a cocktail party on the street. Big apple, paper dress, plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion.
Shattered, 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 sh The Rolling Stones shattering every record in the book. The release of Some Girls. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Ron Wood. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2018, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.